Hey, I'm Ann Eller this afternoon, and I am right here with Barbara Warner. She's a nurse navigator, and boy, she has perfected the art of things that can help yourself. And so I always enjoy sitting down and talking to Barbara, and she is here. How you doing today, Barbara Warner?
I am great, Ann. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a while since we've chatted.
Yes, it's always fun chatting with you.
Absolutely.
On this show.
And we're going to talk more about mindfulness. And, you know, with the Olympics just having happened, and as we watch people with their headphones on and trying to stay in the zone till they were ready to compete and everything, I think that mindfulness is something that our athletes practice.
Absolutely. I would not be surprised at all if I'm sure they're taught mindfulness.
Sure. And they certainly have an uncanny ability to stay focused on the end goal. So in today's world, we deal with so much yada, yada, yada all the time that we need to close out some of that chatter sometimes just to save ourselves, don't we?
Absolutely. Well, the yada, yada is not just what we're dealing with because we're stressed and there's a lot of things that we're having to do in our lives, but we have past things that we think about and our future things that we're worried about, and all of those things cause stress.
They do. And stress is probably, I don't know if it is the killer, but it adds to whatever is killing us, isn't it?
Stress has been said to be the reason that people go to doctors for 75 to 85% of the reasons that people go to doctors.
Yes. Okay. So 75 to 85% of the times that we go to doctors. And what do we find that we need to do?
Well, certainly we have to look at changing the stressful situations that we're in, the way we think about things so that things aren't as stressful. Our thoughts themselves can be stressful. But if you think about, you know, a statement that says 75 to 85% of the reason that people go to doctors is stress, people could take issue and go, but they had an accident. Well, perhaps they had that accident because they were not alert. They were worried about something going on. Or maybe even they got cancer. Well, what they're finding is that our immune systems are compromised heavily by stress, and we become susceptible to all sorts of illnesses, including cancer.
And if we could take away some of those stresses?
We'd be a lot healthier society.
Well, and particularly when, particularly right now, we get everybody's going back to school, we're getting into fall schedules, and it just seems after summer, if it's at all relaxing for those that have the luxury of it, when you get back in school with the kids, with all the programs and all the taking kids here, taking them there, trying to maintain your job and still be a parent and help with all the homework and everything that's out there, it can be a lot.
It is a lot, no question. Anything that's a change is a stress. Plus, vacations are stressful.
Yeah.
And then we're coming out to, guess what? The holidays, and they're certainly stressful.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking about how you can handle this. One of the things that Barbara, as a nurse navigator, and what is a nurse navigator?
Oh, she says, very interestingly, Judy and I formed our corporation called Nurse Navigators because we are nurses, and our view of navigating is to help people navigate the health system and navigate in and out of how they can use what we call integrative medicine, which is evidence-based alternative medicine, but evidence-based.
Sounds like hokey-pokey to me.
We are definitely the woo-woo nurses of the area. But anyways, that we can help people navigate with their Western medicine in and out of how to best use what's out there in both sides.
Now, this actually comes, you actually used to teach at Clemson.
I actually still do teach
do
at
you
Clemson.
Do you still? I didn't know
in
you still
the summer.
Don't.
Not no. I'm not full-time.
Right.
I teach integrative course, integrative healing for nurses in the summer.
And what have they found out about integrative, and why is it a class that they're actually teaching at Clemson?
Whoa. Well, years ago, can I really back up historically?
Sure,
you want
sure.
A big history here? I'm by trade, I'm a therapist, and as a therapist trained in the Western model, I learned that pills are what people give, but I also found that so many of my clients, they had a physical thing going on and it was a mental thing connected to it, or a mental thing going on and that manifested in their physical body. So I became very aware of mind-body connections in illness. And when I went to Clemson, I said, do you have a mind-body course for nurses? And they said, no. And I said, you'd need one. And they said, well, you just need to set it up and teach it. And I did for 7 years. Then I retired and have been teaching it in the summer. So it's basically a mind-body course.
Now, where does all this thinking come from?
Oh, well, interestingly, a lot of the thinking, you could say that a lot of the basis for things comes from the behavioral side, the behavioral medicine side. So you've got a lot of therapy people who deal with emotional things, but you've got a lot of folks who deal with spiritual things as well, who are now wanting that aspect of the individual to be part of our Western medicine. As Judy and I teach, when we teach a course, we have an optimal care course we've taught at Greenville Health System for 3 years. When we teach that course, we are just poignantly aware of how every other medical system deals with the mind and the body and the spirit of the individual for health.
That's such an important statement. And I think, you know, in today's world, we forget about the spiritual side so often.
Right, right. And I don't know if I'd say sadly, the spiritual side sometimes gets relegated to religion.
Correct.
And then you have people who want to be arguing in that realm about religion, and yet it's not really what we're talking about when we're talking about a person's spirit. We're talking about their passion, their will to live, their enjoyment of life, their feelings of fulfillment, their connection to a higher source, certainly, but we don't really think about it in terms of any particular way to connect to that higher source.
So it really is important. And, you know, everybody has their goals, their feelings and their attachments. And, you know, if you go on Facebook, you can certainly see what people really know, what their values, you know, mm-hmm. that they value that personal relationship that they have with mm-hmm. with their spouse, with mm-hmm. their children, how mm-hmm. important these things are. And I think today people put it out there a whole lot more than we ever used to, as far as that goes. And so as you're seeing all this stuff, we really need to be able to figure out where we're going with it so that we can maximize it.
Exactly. What's interesting is a lot of people put out things that they, I think, want to believe, because I've seen a lot of things, but people don't necessarily follow through in their lives.
On some things, thank God they don't follow through, Barbara.
Well, there is that, yes.
But on the positive side, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, too, is, because it's my sadness as a therapist, there's so much put out there. There's so much put out there on Facebook or put out there in texts, and people aren't connecting with each other. You know, right. Eye to eye, face to face, heart to heart. Some of them don't even know how.
Yeah, I think from that standpoint, we have done our children a very big disservice.
It's sad to me.
It is sad to me, too. I mean, as an interviewer, I like to sit down and look at somebody and talk to somebody and have a real conversation. And, you know, you may not be able to solve the world's woes, but you certainly can find out something about that other person that either connects you to them or makes you understand why they are the way they are or why they believe what they believe.
Right, right. And that's interesting, not to necessarily bring this back to mindfulness officially.
Right.
But mindfulness is about being in my present moment when I'm sitting here with you.
Not over there on the iPad doing something.
I'm not on the iPad. I'm not looking at my texts. I'm not trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I leave here. I'm not worried about what brought me here and what happened when I left. So I can be really present to you in this moment. And so that's one of the things that if we could learn just to have people be allowed to be present when we're connecting, you know,
exactly.
It makes such a difference, even if I disagree.
Correct.
Because I may learn something from you.
Exactly. And I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that being in the moment, that, you know, they talk about that, that I hear that more on TV now than I ever have. Yeah. Being in the moment, being in the moment. Well, what does that mean, being in the moment? You're taking it all in, what's happening to you right now.
Exactly. What one of the things we talk about in mindfulness is using bells that are in our life. And it's a concept that's kind of weird for people to think of, but using a literal bell that makes you, brings you kind of to your awareness. Now, when I hear a bell, I'm supposed to kind of stop, focus on my breath, pay attention to what's going on in my body. What am I feeling? What just happened? Blah, blah. And now I'm present. I'm kind of centered, is what we call it. But a bell can be anything. It can be a literal bell. Or like I like to say, it can be that traffic jam that otherwise you would get upset about.
Right.
But now I can use that as a bell and breathe and look around and realize, oh my gosh, the leaves are falling on the trees already. Or, yeah, I can smell the flowers. Things like that that can be a gift in that moment that otherwise I would have missed because I was been pissed because I had to be in this traffic jam. And well, my body would have been upset about that being pissed.
Right, yeah. And we don't take enough time to smell the roses.
No.
We just are always hurrying here, hurrying there. We raise our children here, hurrying there. Got to get to the next appointment. We schedule our kids so many times in so many activities where they'd probably be just as happy if we let them play and really play.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I know that I told you this last time we were talking about mindfulness, but my daughter has been a model for me. Now her twins are 2.5, and she continues to take those breaths and listen to what they say and just relishes in their little development. They're
gifts.
They are really little gifts. Even the screaming and the this and the that ordinarily you would go, stop, get out of here. She kind of, okay, let's, she, you know, she does disciplines.
Right.
But it doesn't ruin her world to have things that are different about the kids and things that happen with them.
Well, that's cool. But we have gotten so much away from that, and probably it's because we're in so much of a hurry all
absolutely.
The time.
We are absolutely in a hurry.
And
yes.
When I was much younger, I was told there are 24 hours in a day. Certainly there is time to get things done. Now I say there are only 24 hours in a day, and I don't have enough time to get everything done, no matter how hard I try.
So don't tell me this.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But if you slow down long enough.
Yes. Exactly.
You might realize that 12 of those things you really didn't even need to do, period.
Probably.
Much less get them done.
Exactly. You are exactly right. But at the time, and as you're checking off that list and working through this list,
right.
They do seem like the most important things that
they
you
do.
Have to be doing.
Yeah.
And so as we all get older and we think about where our lives are headed, this is an excellent program to make you stop. In the name of love. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. In the name of love for yourself.
Yeah.
It's the and self-care.
We don't. Yeah. And I don't think women particularly take that time. I think we're caregivers. And so we take a little less time. We take care of others and we may want to do things for ourselves. But if you're like me, you run out of time.
Some of the best successes that we've seen with people who have taken the class have been people who are in situations where they are really caregivers, and specifically caregivers to older parents or something like that, which is a stressful situation.
Absolutely.
Normally, and they would try to be sweet and try to be calm, but they would find their bodies just revving up with frustration and anger. And bells, they could use that anger boiling up as a bell and realize, oh, I know this is familiar. Take those breaths, calm their bodies back down, see what they might need to do for themselves to stay in that place for a little while, and then go back out into the situation.
Sure. And that is one of the things that I know the state has been trying to do, what is to give more caregiver time. you know, mm-hmm. have more time available, but it's still not reached a level of need. So these are things you have to do yourself.
Right.
And just to be able to get away from the situation for a while is helpful. But if you can't get away from it, to have a place where you can go in the zone and zone yourself back to saneness can be very helpful.
And it really doesn't take much. It's a matter with mindfulness. One of the first things that people learn is to focus on their breath. And you're going to have to breathe no matter what, whether the person's flying around and things are falling apart. You have to breathe. So you might as well do the breathing in an aware way, in an aware form that helps you to relax. Mm-hmm. And that's simply by paying attention to the fact that the breath is coming in and out of your body. You can do that for 3 or 4 breaths and already be aware that your internal physiology has slowed down.
And isn't the other thing just really deep breathing, deep breaths, not these little shallow breaths that we have a tendency when we're all hyped up to take a really deep breath?
Take a deep breath is definitely the thing to do. But what we like, I personally hate to hear somebody say, take a deep breath, mainly because what we do then, if any of your listeners want to just say now, right now, take a deep breath and pay attention to what you just did. More than likely, you have kind of raised your shoulders, taken a breath in your heart area and raised everything up in your upper chest. That's not real deep. That's really the kind of breath. If you did several of those, you would be hyperventilating.
Right.
The deep breath that we like to talk about is a belly breath.
The belly one, yes.
So you just take that breath and allow it to sink right down in your belly. And girls who have to walk around sucking it in, we can't suck it in anymore. You just let that belly go up when we breathe in and breathe out from the belly, basically. So it's a belly breath.
And isn't also the aspect of how you breathe out important?
Oh, she remembers.
Yes, I do.
Yay, good for you.
Yeah.
Yes, the out breath, the exhale needs to be ideally even twice as long as the inhale.
That's what I thought, yeah.
And the exhale is that relaxation breath. So when, and again, your listeners can pay attention to when they breathe out, their body will tend to relax. Literally, what's happening is you're exhaling and you don't have the oxygen now in your muscles to get tight. So there is an oxygen exchange that makes it that relaxation piece. And it's much more important. Now,
if you just go, I did that exaggerated so everybody could hear it. You know, that doesn't really do it for you, does it?
No. But Andrew Weil has a count that he talks about. But even that, you don't necessarily have to do. But to start out with, you can breathe into the count of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Hold it to the count of 4. And breathe out to the count of 8.
So, see, that's really twice what you were breathing in, mm-hmm. if you don't count the breathing, the holding mm-hmm. part there.
Right.
Right.
It just helps you to kind of, and then if you have thoughts that interfere, thoughts that are just kind of, you can't get away from all this negative thinking or this fearful thinking or whatever, if you focus on your breath, you can't think. So it gives you not only an anchor to the present moment, really makes it so you can't think. Now thoughts will come in,
right?
And you just keep going back to that breath. We can't keep our thoughts from coming. That's not.
But we can push them aside.
Not truly push them aside.
Okay.
More so, kind of replace them. They're going to be there. We don't want to try to push them away, because if you think about pushing something. Or let's just say it this way. A thought is coming across your awareness, and suddenly you're pushing on it. Now it's centered right in your awareness because you're pushing on it.
Right.
Kind of like saying, don't think about an elephant.
You're going to think about that elephant.
First thing you're going to think about. So it's okay. There's the thought. I accept that thought, and I'm going back to my breath.
Well, one of the things we're going to talk about this afternoon is a class that you're getting ready to do, mindfulness-based self-care, and that'll be coming up. When's that start? September 20th?
Right. It's going to be on every Tuesday night from 6 to 7:30. for 8 Tuesdays.
And it is at?
It is at Jed Graham's Physician's Care Office on Montague, kind of across from the new Mexican place.
Yes, there. Fogarty's.
La Fogata.
Yeah,
La Fogata.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And so it's an excellent program. It costs $95. And if you are looking for some peace, you get a lot of individual as well as group stuff that you do gives you something to work with. You also get a notebook that you get to take with you and refer back to. So if you're living in a stressed out world and you need to do something for yourself, you might want to check this out. Hey, we'll be right back. South Carolina News is up. We'll come back. We'll tell you more about it. Don't you go away.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. I'm being mindful of everything I do now.
Yeah, right.
That's right. I'm sitting here with Barbara Warner. She is a healthcare practitioner, I guess we could say. Yes.
Yeah.
You did a lot of psychology.
Nursing? I am a nurse psychotherapist, yes.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm. Many years in Atlanta. Yep. I still do it, actually.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I remember just when I broke my shoulder.
And you had been
on, and it wasn't long after this had happened. And you were telling me about somebody who had, I don't know, broken their leg or something.
It was a forearm.
Yeah, a forearm.
She was a tennis player.
And we were talking about how you got her to visualize knitting. And knitting of the bones.
Mm-hmm.
And you told me that I might like to try that. And I don't know, folks, whether it really was it or not. But when I was in the shower every day, that's what I thought about, was getting this bone well by knitting. I can tell you this, when I was allowed to go back and check on this, he said, well, I can't hardly tell whether there's any problem where you had one.
Yep.
So whether it was just the fact that my body healed itself very well, whether my mind, using my mind to imagine my bones being knitted back together. But I definitely believe in it. And, you know, we're not talking about alternative medicine. We're talking about integrating the medicine. Now, how are doctors perceiving integrative medicine?
Wow. Well, there are some that go right ahead and buy in. There are some that look at it as new age crap, basically. And there are some that are kind of on the fence that are willing to think about it. But in many cases, I would say the majority of the Western physicians don't believe there is enough evidence, hard evidence. Mm-hmm. And they're very much looking toward hard evidence.
Right.
The problem with hard evidence is that the placebo effect acts a lot in any research that's done with mind-body modalities, because the mind is part of it. The mind is the power behind what helps the body to heal. And what we're out doing when we're doing some research is to show how the mind helps the body heal. And then they can come back and say, well, that's just placebo effect, which is
the mind
healing the body. So, duh, it's a little difficult. It's a circular kind of thing.
Exactly. But there is evidence out there for it.
Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of evidence there. It's very interesting. I went to the University of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. In Madison, and now they have the Center for Healthy Minds there, and they're doing a lot of hard research because they have machines that can measure brain waves when somebody has a feeling, when they can see the feeling on the mind, on the brain, on the physical brain. So there's a lot of things that they can start. I think they'll be able to start having more of what Western medicine wants as hard science.
So, and up there at the Greenville Hospital System, they believed in it.
I won't say the whole system did.
Okay.
But the Center for Integrative Oncology and Survivorship wanted to be more holistic with their cancer survivors.
Well, they are finding that that's a huge part of one's survival. Right. I mean, if you, the desire to live, there has to be a reason why those the people that fail, that die, and those that are able to fight it off, when in both cases, they should both survive.
It's this whole, there are a lot of what we call just subjective stories out there about that kind of thing. When you're talking, what comes to mind is the case of a fellow who was on a trial drug, and he was getting all sorts of healing, and he felt great, and everything was going great. And then, let's say a week, I mean, he's into his recovery, and he's in remission, and everything is going wonderful for his cancer. And then the newspaper comes out and says that the drug was a failure and it didn't really work. And within a week, he died.
Wow.
So much of it is that mind. I mean, when you were talking about what you did with your arm, it is what we call visualization or guided imagery. And the mind does not, the body pays attention to what the mind tells it. So when you go to your doctor, this would be my biggest plea to anybody out there. When you go to your doctor and he gives you this horrible picture about what's going on in your body, take that picture out of your mind and throw it in the trash.
Okay.
And go find a healthy body to look at, or a healthy piece, or a healthy thought, and put that in your
brain,
mind's picture, because that's what can help your body heal. The other just helps it to create the picture he's given you, which, by the way, is given to you so that you will not sue him if you don't get well. It is simply a matter of CYA.
Dollars and cents. Yeah, there you go. Cover your ass. Yep, there you go. So, do you think this applies to everything or just certain things? What do you think, Barbara, in your experience?
When you say everything. Now,
I mean, somebody that has back pain, because that's a big one, back pain. Can you, I'll use the word, heal yourself to believe that you do not have back pain?
Well, it's very interesting. One of the big proponents of mindfulness that I learned from years ago when I first learned this stuff, he has a book out that he had, quote unquote, healed his back pain with mindfulness. What happens in our bodies is, number one, we have inflammation, let's say, in a joint.
Right.
And it causes pain.
Right.
So what we do is we focus our attention on the pain. That causes a tightness, which causes more pain.
Right.
And more inflammation. So what he probably did, I did not read the book, although I bought it. Didn't read it. It's one of those osmosis things. What he probably did was mindfulness, to take his mental picture away from the back
pain,
and
from
its
the pain,
and allowed that structure of his body to have as much looseness and as much relaxation as possible. He may have also added something like positive imagery about that area healing. That I don't know.
Right.
But those things take time. They take practice, and they take a willingness to use your time to help your body heal, to look at healing for your body. Our society is not patient enough to do that yet. And it may become necessary that that's all we've got, so we may have to look at that.
There societies that do?
Oh yeah. What? Definitely.
Yeah.
The Chinese. Now, the Chinese have some westernization in their medicine. The Indian society use, people would say it's religion. It's not religion. It's one of their healing modalities is mindfulness meditation, and they call it a Buddhist meditation, but it's that breathing and staying in a moment. And those societies, their spiritual part, their mental part, are part of what it takes, what they believe is necessary to heal. And it's a whole body system. Mm-hmm. Your whole body is looked at. And if maybe there's something gone physically, they're not going to just look at that physical part of you. They're going to look at, well, what's going on in your relationships? What's going on in your job? What's going on in your emotions? And see if those things can be altered. And, oh, by the way, maybe the body will heal.
Well, you know, I guess we could, in some cases, liken that to when somebody dies in a relationship, a husband, wife that have been married for very long times. And we've heard the stories of the couple that died within an hour of each other because they were that close. Mm-hmm. But take the other case where one spouse is left and they're very depressed and very down for a long time. And then through some class reunion, through something, they find a new relationship. And all of a sudden, you see them walking more spryly. They're more alive and they're more happy.
Exactly. Yes. Suddenly they're well.
Yes. And before, you couldn't figure out what was wrong. You just felt it was the grieving process, the sadness for the relationship that is no more. But the mind is able to handle that, too.
Absolutely. It's amazing. I have been in my practice since I became a nurse, really. I started out in psych nursing. I have been just amazed at the mind and what it does and doesn't do and what it can do. And it's just, it's been a fun ride. So I tell people that I went to the University of Wisconsin too early because I'd love to be at that Center for Healthy Minds and do what they're doing and study what they're studying.
Absolutely. Well, we are talking about mindfulness-based self-care. This is a program that can help, Barbara and I were talking off the air, it can actually start you down the road to being able to handle. This is something that you have to continue. But that has 8 group sessions, and they're $95. It starts September 20th. If you'd like to call Barbara afterwards, 678-427-1404. She'd love to talk to you about it. And they have you have a website, a nice short name for it, too, I might add.
Yes, that's the bugger.
Nurse Navigators, the number 4, Integrative Healing. There you go. Is it .org?
.org.
Yeah. .org. There you go. Mm-hmm. All right. But it might be easier just to write her number down. 678-427-1404. Check out the class. You also are doing a one day, 9 o'clock in the morning to 4:30 in the afternoon. Now, what's that? Exploring Mindfulness Meditation.
This is kind of a quick overview of mindfulness. We would like to have what we have. We have probably a good over 100 folks have already done the classes, and the idea is to get everybody kind of back into mindfulness thinking again, but also anybody who wants to have an intro, see if this is the kind of thing they'd like to do, will be doing mindfulness. The other thing that we're adding to this, though, it's not truly mindfulness, but we're having
a party.
Party? Well, it is a party. We're going to have a party at the lake. And we'll be doing a Native American releasing and receiving ceremony, fire ceremony at the end of this one. So that's always fun.
What's that now, Barbara?
Ah, she asks.
Yeah. She said something out like that. And yes, I bit. Yes. What is that, Barbara?
Well, I studied with a Native American and shaman for 12 years. And one of the things that we did was, and people have done this, I think probably in maybe even in some churches, at the new year, you get rid of the things that you want to get rid of and you ask God to bring in things that you want. And this ceremony, we do it around a fire. We decorate sticks. We talk about how all of that can happen. And rather than doing it at the new year, we're going to be doing it at the end of this retreat.
End of this retreat. Okay. Sounds like something you got to call and talk to Barbara to get more information, folks. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors and we'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Good afternoon, everybody. Just we're talking here and connecting the dots, and I'm breathing, I think, pretty good now. I'm slowed down here. I'm in the moment here with Barbara Warner. She is a nurse navigator. She has been doing this for years. And I got to say, Barbara, that you really take care of yourself. And, you know, if all of this is good stuff, then you live this style, it makes a difference.
It has definitely made a difference for me. I probably didn't live all that great until I started on this path. And I kind of jump-started on the path. I was in psych, and I was doing some mind-body stuff. But my daughter died in 1993, and then I jumped right into Native American stuff and the hypnotherapy, which I do. And through all of that, was able to do some healing in that grief and also come out of it at the other end, I think, probably in a lot better health.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I will say, I mean, I don't think I didn't know you back then, but mm-hmm. since we have known each other, you just seem to thrive on what you do. You love what you do, and you're willing to share. And I think that's a big part of what you do. It's the sharing. And I really think that if people with the healthcare system, we're all going to have to figure out how to heal thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the doctor is not the experience it used to be. I mean, it used to be you picked up the phone, you called your doctor, you were able to talk to him. Now even that is difficult. Going to the hospital is definitely an experience you don't want to have to do. Having all these tests, all the stuff that we put ourselves through. And yet, if we just were able to talk to our bodies a little bit better, we might be able to heal ourselves somewhat or keep ourselves in somewhat better shape.
And the thing that a lot of doctors are worried about with the integrative things is that people will go only to those modalities that they look at as alternative. The reality is that what can happen is these modalities can help you accept what the medicines or the treatments and things are going to do with your body and help your body work with them. Because sometimes, I think I might have told you this years ago, I got a flu shot. And I was kind of not wanting to have a flu shot. So I just decided that rather than fighting the flu shot, which might have probably set up some maybe inflammation in my body, mm-hmm. I just decided to accept the flu shot calmly in a relaxed manner.
And
everything was fine. I didn't have any reactions to it. Everything was cool. I've kind of slid into the flu shot thing. It's the kind of thing that people just need to realize that we need both things out there. We need them both.
Sure.
And we need self-care big time.
We do. And the fact that you have the capability to help yourself is something that I think most people don't really realize. We all think we need a pill for this and a pill for that. We try to eat right, but, you know, we don't really pay attention to it maybe as well as we could. And then we're mm-hmm. surprised when we have all these problems.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's a sad thing. We have got to reverse this whole business of, I'm going to the doctor here. I don't want any responsibility for this body. You fix it. The doctors, the nurse practitioners, everyone has been socialized to give you a pill to fix you.
Even when that pill sometimes really won't fix you.
It won't fix you for the most part. It right. will give you some symptom relief and cause you some side effects. And then, another pill for those.
Oh, I tell you what, anybody that watches TV and sees all these commercials and see what and this may cause... You know, I listen to these things and I just go, oh my God, I am never taking any of these medicines. I mean, why would I take that? What they say is going to happen to you is worse than the symptoms that you're already dealing with.
Absolutely.
So why not use your mind and see if you can make it a little more better, a little more palatable to you so
right.
that you can survive?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I probably told you this the last time, but when we were doing the cancer survivorship stuff up at the mindfulness for cancer survivors at GHS, One of the most profound things that one of the gals said was, at least I can have a half an hour where I don't have to worry about my cancer. It's like you can have vacations from some of the stressors in your life.
Sure.
And even those mini vacations are the kinds of things that can help your body relax and start to heal.
Now, we only have about 2 minutes left here, but can it help you lose weight?
Yes, there's actually mindful eating.
Mindful eating.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, there are whole programs of mindful eating.
Okay.
In fact, one of the first things that we do in our first session is experience a slow, mindful relationship with a raisin.
And how long you can eat that raisin, and does it nourish your body?
Well, when you eat it slowly,
yes,
suddenly you are putting a lot more enzymes from your saliva into your food.
Right.
And that helps with digestion, which obviously does then help your body. Surprise, surprise. Otherwise, it's inhaled, probably doesn't get a whole lot of breakdown from your saliva and goes in and may even irritate because you haven't broken it down much. And
you go. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for those of you that would like to lose a few pounds, maybe this might be the program that could help you here. At least understand. I think what you're looking for in this program is that people understand how their body works and how their mind works, and to help them. After that, you're kind of on your own follow the program.
Sure, you're on your own. There's a lot of stuff out there that's free online. There are, you know, there are folks in the community that are looking in this way, living this way. And Judy and I are always available.
Absolutely.
After the program.
After the program. Mm-hmm. So the program is, you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood. Mindfulness-based self-care. It will be starting September 20th and go for 8 group sessions. It is at Physicians Care, which is very convenient, 805 Montague Avenue. And it kind of gives you that overview on what it takes to use your mind to help you control your body.
Yes, rather than vice versa.
Rather than vice versa. Well, there you go. The number to call, 678-427-1404. It does cost $95, very affordable, and I can tell you that y'all put a lot of effort into the program and making it good for every person in there. Sometimes when you do something in a group, you feel like you're not getting maybe your money's worth because it's the group and you don't feel open enough to be able to talk or say what's really, whether you're getting it or not. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that both you and Judy are very good about, making sure that everybody understands what they're learning in each section.
Thank you. Yes, we do. And we enjoy every group, no matter what the composition, and it usually seems like just the right and perfect composition of the group.
Absolutely. So give Barbara a call, 678-427-1404. That is mindfulness-based self-care. Give it a try. What have you got to lose? And it's only $95. Barbara, thanks so much for coming out today.
Thank you for having me. I always have fun here.
Absolutely. Thank you. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.